Okay, we're beginning with the Mishnah on Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is discussing what we already noted yesterday, that with regards to Maaser Behemah, the Torah says, Lo Yivaker Ben Tov L'Ra, that you don't distinguish between good and bad with regards to the animal, meaning that even if there's a mum, it is subject to Maaser Behemah. Question is, how far does that go? We have many different types of disqualifications with regards to Korbanot. Do any of them apply to Maaser Behemah? Or if they do apply, why? And vice versa, which do not apply to Maaser Behemah. What is clear is that mum is not a disqualifying event because tov v'ra, ra, the chazal, interpret in the Torah here a number of times that it's used in Perek Chav Zayin in Vayikra, for the word ra, or behemah tmeah, to be used to mean something with a mum in it. And so, there for sure, lo yivaker ben tov v'ra means that a mum by Maaser Behemah is not going to be a disqualifying factor. Now the Mishnah says, akol nichnasim l'dir l'itaser, all of these animals go into the corral to be counted towards the Maaser Behemah, chutz, with the exception of mikil ayim. Kilayim over here, as Tosafot says, subsumes within it also nidmeh, not just things that are crossbred that are improper for the mizbeach, but also nidmeh, an animal that looks like a different animal, not similar to its parent. Vitrefa, which we'll see why later on, is disqualified. Biyotze dolphin, an animal that is not born through the natural birth canal, but through a C-section. Chuser zman, an animal that has yet to reach the time period where it can be put on the mizbeach. This is against the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, b'shem Rabbi Shimon, we saw yesterday, that even before the time that it can go on the mizbeach, you can be makdishit, or it can go into the corral. Over here, if it's mechuser zman, it doesn't even go into the corral, according to the chachamim. Hayatom, which we saw back in Chulin and in Zvachim, with regards to an animal that is born, and in its birth, the mother dies. And so therefore, it's a yatom from birth, because it never had a mother around. Ve'ezu yatom, what's a yatom? Koshem meta ima, its mother died. Oshen ishchata, or was shechted v'achar kach yalda, and then it gave birth. So at the time in which there was no overlap between the fetus that was born and the mother. Yishomer, afilu nishchata ima, v'shelach kayam, even if you shecht it and the mother's hide is still around, ein ze yatom. It's not called a yatom, and we'll get to that in the second half of today's daf as to what that means. Menahane milay, Mar wants to know, how do you know that that's the case? How do we know which items, again, are disqualified for Maaser Behemah? Which items are okay? Ditan Rabbanan, they're quoting here the pasuk from Parshat Emor with regards to the korbanot, to the disqualifying factors of a korban. There it says, shor o kesef o eiz, ki ivaleid, v'yash shivat yamim tachat imo, yom hashmini v'hala, yeratze the korban yishay l'Hashem. Then they darshan, shor o kesef, prat l'kilayim. It doesn't say shor v'kesef, it says shor o kesef. O tells you that you can't have kilayim, you can't have a crossbreed. O eiz tells you prat l'nidmeh, that it can't be something that looks like a different animal. It has to be an A's. If an A's, it's an A's that's born to an A's, it needs to look like an A's. Ki valeid, prat liyotze dofen. That was born, ki valeid, or leida, means coming through the birth canal, not through a C-section. Ve'aya shivat yamim, has to be for 7 days, tachat imo, prat the mechuser zman. That tells you that if it's disqualified, if it's less than 7 days, tachat imo, it has to be under its mother's auspices, prat liyatom, which never had a mother there to take care of it. These are all drashot that are with regards to regular kodeshim. This has nothing to do with Maaser Behemah. There's a pasuk that's found in Parshat Emor that tells us what are the disqualifying factors for kodeshim. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer, Nermakan, it says by the Maaser Behemah, kol masar bakar batzon kol asher yavor tachat ha-shovet, atzivi ikei ha-kodesh la-shem, Yavor Tachat, and then you have Ne'amar Lahalan. It says over here in Parshat Emor, Shivat Yamim Tachat Imo. So that's Tachat, Tachat, Gezer Shava. Malahalan Prat Tuchol HaShemot Alalu. Just like by regular Kodushim, all of these items are disqualified. Afkan Prat Tuchol HaShemot Alalu. So it's over here by Maaser Behemah, it comes to tell you that all of these items are disqualified. You wouldn't have known that just because it's Kodushim. Because again, as we said before, Maaser Behemah, the Torah already was Matir Emum. That already tells you it's different than regular Kodeshim. So absent Gzer Shova, you wouldn't have assumed just because something is disqualified by Kodeshim, it's disqualified by Meiser Behema. Along comes Gzer Shova to say to you, these items that are mentioned that are psulim by regular Korban are also psulim by Meiser Behema. Makan prat l'treifa, Abdalan prat l'treifa. And then in the other direction, in the list that we have here by the Kodeshim, there's no disqualification for a treifa. But with regards to Meiser Behema, says Kol Asher Yavor Tachat HaShavet. Anything that goes underneath of the Shavet, Rashi over here in other places says that that is Prat L'Treifa, because one of the Treifot, or the 18 Treifot that are mentioned, Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, is Menarkova L'Malo. If the leg is cut off above the area of the knee, then it is a disqualifying factor, it's a Treifa, and that is by Meiser Behema. It says, Kol Asher Yavor Tachat HaShavet. You have to walk underneath the staff of the Ro'eh, the Baalim. An animal that has that Treifa can't walk underneath the Shavet. And so therefore, that's a disqualifying factor. Now, even though that's only one of the Treifot, Rashi says we learn from that Treifa to other Treifot, that by Meiser Behema, a Treifa is disqualified. Just like a Treifa is disqualified by Meiser Behema, so too by regular Kodoshim, a Treifa is disqualified. So that's using the Gzer Shavah in the reverse direction. We learn from Kodoshim all those items to Meiser Behema. Now we learn from Meiser Behema to other Kodoshim. So Meiser Behema adds Treifa as a disqualifying factor. The other Kodoshim and Emor give us all the factors mentioned in our Mishnah, Kilayim, Nidmeh, Yotzei Dofen, Lechuser Zman, and Yatom, all come from those Kodoshim. That's the Gzer Shavah of Tachat, Tachat. The Rambam mentions that it's Prat the Treifa, because the Treifa is not something that's healthy, and therefore it can't be Yavor Tachat HaShavet. It's a little difficult, because the only definition we know of Treifa is that it won't last 12 months. Doesn't mean that it's inherently unhealthy, just means that it won't last or won't live more than 12 months. And so that's a little more difficult. That's why Rashi focuses on this particular Treifa that doesn't let it walk Tachat HaShavet. Right, so where it says, Akol La Tuye Mai. So we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, everything goes into the corral for Meiser Behema. What does that come to include? What means Hakol? Le'atuye, it comes to tell you that these are also included. Tuye hadatan rabanan, haroveya v'nirva, v'muksa, v'nevad, v'etnan, v'mechir, v'tumtum, v'adrobinus, kulam nichasim l'dir l'itaser. So all these items which are disqualified by regular Kodeshim are not disqualified by Meiser Behema. That includes bestiality, muksa, something that was designated for the Krovet Avodah Zarah, Nevad, it was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, Etnan, which we saw yesterday, which is exchanged for the wages of a harlot, Mechir is Mechir Kelev, that was exchanged for a dog, Tumtum and Androgynous, which we spent time on earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Membet, that those that either have no visible gender or have both genders, all of these, kulan nechnasim l'dir l'itaser, they're all okay to go into the corral and be included in the Meiser Behema. Shim ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon, tumtum v'androgynous ein nechnasim l'dir l'itaser. He disagrees with regards to tumtum and androgynous, and now the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning. Tana didan, our Tana, let's understand what he's saying. Igamar tachat tachat nikodoshim, if he has the gzer shava of tachat tachat, hani nami lo, then why don't we disqualify all factors, all the things that are disqualified by Kodeshim should be disqualified by Meiser Behema. Why are you limiting it to the items we mentioned before? Kilayim, Nidmeh, Treifa, Yotzei Dofen, Mechuser Zman, Yatom. Why limit it? V'ilo Yolif, if he doesn't have the Gzer Shava, Hane Menale. Then, if he doesn't have the Gzer Shava, how does he even know that these items should be disqualified at all? Where it says, Olam Gomir. He learns the Gzer Shava, V'hane Rachmana Rabinu. But the Torah included these items. Included means the items like Roveya, Nirba, Muksa, Benevad, they are included in what is allowed to be used for Meiser Behema, Bichtiv, because the Pasuk says in Emor, Umiyad ben Nechar, Lo takrivu et lechem elokechem, Mikol Eila, Ki mashchatam bahem, Mumbam lo yeretzu lechem. So in the end of the Pasuk it says, Ki mashchatam bahem, their problem is with them, Mumbam, they have some sort of blemish. Lo yeratzu lechem. It will not be an acceptable korban. So Gemara says about that, that mashkatam bahem, mumbam lo yeratzu lechem, v'ta'ano debei Rabbi Yishmael, and we have a midrash shalocha from Tani Rabbi Yishmael, Kol makom shenemar bo hashchata, eno ladvar erva vavodazara. Anytime the Torah uses the word hashchata, lashchit, it's a reference to erva, and it's a reference to avodazara. Dvar erva, how do I know that it's a reference to arayot? Yechtev ki hishchit ko basar et darko al aretz. In the introduction to the Mabul, in the end of Parshat Bereshit, beginning of Noach, it tells us that hishchit ko basar et darko al aretz. We know over there that there were problems of arayot, there's the problems of the Bnei Elohim and the Benot Adam getting together. We know that there are problems of arayot, and that's termed in the Torah, Tishchit Kol Basar Darko Al Haaretz. Avodah Zarah, Dichtiv, Penta Shchitun, Vasitim Lachem Pesel Tumanat Kol Samel, Tavnit Zacharo Nekeva. So again, the word Hashchata is used in the context of Avodah Zarah. So then, the drasha is the following. Kol Shemum Posel Bo, anything where a mum is problematic, so too, Dvar Erva, Avodah Zarah Poslim Bo. There too, Avodah Zarah and Arayot will be problematic. Kol She'in HaMum Posel Bo, anything where mum is not a factor, Ein Dvar Erva, Avodah Zarah Poslim Bo. Then Hashchata is not a factor, which means Arayot and Avodah Zarah are not a factor. So the Hekesh and the Pasuk between Mashchatam Behem and Mum Bam tells you that there's a correlation between mum and Hashchata, which means there's a correlation between mum, Avodah Zarah, and Arayot. Therefore, V'hai Maiser, Ho V'lo Pasil Be Muma, as we noted already, that B'Maiser Be'ema, a mum is not impactful, Dichtiv Lo Yivaker Ben Tov L'Ra, V'lo Yimirenu, there it says, do not make any distinction between Tov and Ra, it means no distinction between whether it does have a mum or doesn't have a mum, whatever goes Tachat HaShevet is classified as Maiser Be'ema. The only thing is, if it has a mum, you'll eat it locally in the Baalim. If it doesn't have a mum, you take it as a korban maser up to Yerushalayim. Dvar erva, v'avodah zarah, nami lo pasul bei. Therefore, also, dvar erva and avodah zarah will not impact it. Rova v'nirba, dvar erva. Rova v'nirba, bestiality, is a problem of erva. Muksa v'nevad, those are problems of avodah zarah. Vetnan is also a dvar erva. Umechir kelev itkish le'etnan. Chir kelev is in the same pasuk as etnan. Therefore, there's a hekesh between them. So if etnan doesn't apply, neither does mechir kelev. Tumtum v'androgynous kasar sveiko. Tumtum v'androgynous, he believes, is a safek zachar, safek nekeva. Regards to maiser beima, gender is irrelevant. So since you could bring a zachar or a nekeva as maiser beima, then androgynous and a tumtum are one of those. May not know which one it is, but it's irrelevant by Maiser Be'ema, and therefore they would be subject to Maiser Be'ema. So for that reason, all the items that are normally posel be'kodeshim, the guards are arayot, avodah zarah, and now maybe androgynous and tumtum, all of those are not relevant by Maiser Be'ema, because mum is not posel by Maiser Be'ema. The hekesh from mum to hashchata, which is arayot and avodah zarah, tells us, just like mum is irrelevant by Maiser Be'ema, so too all of these items are irrelevant by Maiser Be'ema. Now Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who disagrees and says androgynous and tumtum are disqualified, what does he believe? Kasavar, the girsa that we have is sveikahu, doesn't make very much sense, because that was what the Tanakhama believed. So you have to have either a girsa of kasavar lav sveikahu, it's not a sefek, or the girsa that Rashi has and the Rabbeinu Gershom have is kasavar biryahu. It's its own entity. It's not a zachar, not an ekeva, and therefore miyet rachmana gabay kodoshim, and therefore it's excluded by kodoshim because there it says zachar vaday v'nekeva vadayit. It either is a zachar or it is an ekeva, below tumtum v'androgynous, and not a tumtum and androgynous because they are biryot b'fnei atzman. That's the case. They'd be excluded because they're not a zachar, not an ekeva. There's some independent entity which is not qualified to go on the mizbeach. Maiser namit gamar tachat tachat mikodushim. And just like before, we had the gzer shava tachat tachat, so the same disqualification by tumtum and androgynous, which are problematic by kodushim, are also going to be problematic by maiser beima. The truth is, if you have the girsa that we have, which is, he holds it's a safek, but then he has the additional drasha, that whenever the Torah says zachar nekeva, means zachar vadai, nekeva vadeit, and therefore a safek would not work. You have to be barur. Either you are zachar or nekeva. Safek doesn't work. So that would be a way to exclude it based on the girsa that we have. But again, Rashi, the Rebbeinu Gershom, all of the Gersa that he thinks it's a Birya, and there clearly it's not included within Zachar and Nekeva. And as Tosafot points out, this whole sugya over here is not like Rav Chista and Reish Lakish, who we saw back on Daf Mem Bet Amud Bet, whereby they say either that there is no din of Tumtum and Androgynous by Behemot, because their genders are much more distinct than by human beings, and therefore where they urinate from can give you an inkling as to whether they are Zachar and Nekeva. Or Rav Chista, who says that the machloket is only by androgynous, by tumtum, everybody agrees that it's a safek. Obviously, this gemara over here doesn't follow either of those two opinions that we saw earlier. Tarabanan. Akol nichnasim l'dili taser, chutz min akilayim v'atrifa, divrei Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Yehuda, ish kfar bartuta, shamar mishum Rabbi Yoshua. Now we have a new list. Somebody who says that only kilayim and trifa are excluded. Amar Rabbi Akiva, ani shamati amenu. Rabbi Akiva says, I heard from Rabbi Yeshua. Af yotzei dofen mechus v'zman v'yatom, which would be the list that we have in our Mishnah, which would have included kilayim treifa, mechus v'zman, yotzei dofen, and yatom. And that's Rabbi Akiva's view of what Rabbi Yeshua said. V'tana kamo. So the Tana kamo over here, igamar tachat tachat mikodoshim. If he learns the gzer shava, hanin amilo. He should be no different than Rabbi Akiva's opinion here in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. V'ilo gamar. And if Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yehuda doesn't learn it, Bishlam HaTreifa, you could say is excluded by Meiser Behema, because of what we said before, Kol HaShir Yavor Tachat HaShavet, Ktiv, Prat, LeTreifa, Shein Overet. That doesn't go under the staff, because it can't walk, according to Rashi, because it has a Treifa, like Mi'an HaKover on the Malo, according to the Rambam, because it's sick or it's too weak to go under the Shavet. Ela Kilayim Minalit. How does he know Kilayim? So at least Treifa, we can figure out how he knows that it's disqualified. How does he know that Treifa is disqualified? The Olam Gamar. He has the Gzera Shava, and therefore he learns all the Psalim from Shor Kesef to Meiser Behema. But then he subscribes to particular opinions that do not create that disqualification. Ube Yotze Dofen, with a C-section, Savalaki Rabbi Shimon. He holds like Rabbi Shimon, Damar Yotze Dofen, Vlad Ma'alyo. He says that a Yotze Dofen is a full-fledged Vlad, and therefore it's not a disqualifying factor. Udaloka Rabbi Yochanan. Not like Rabbi Yochanan, who limited Rabbi Shimon's position to human beings and not to animals. This goes against what was said back earlier, where we said that Rabbi Shimon's position is limited to human beings. But by animals, he does not necessarily subscribe to that, because by animals, you don't have the ribuy of the word teleid, which is found in Parshat Tazria. So this view is against what we said before, that Rabbi Shimon's position is limited to human beings and not including animals. He obviously believes that it also applies to animals, and therefore Yotzei Dofen is considered to be a full-fledged birth. B'mechuser Zman, Savalaki Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, which we saw before, who says that even though you can't bring a Meiser Behema until the eighth day, it still can go into the corral during the first 7 days, and so therefore there's no Mechuser Zman. Yatom, Kagon Sheshelach Kayam, Yatom, he'll hold like Rabbi Yoshua, who says that when the hide is still around, then there's no problem of Yatom. Rabbi Shua Letamei, Damar, Afilu shachatati mo, b'shalach kayam, ein zeh yatom. That if you shech the mother and the hide is still around, then that's not classified as a yatom. And again, he's quoting in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. That's not surprising. Over here, the Tana Kama, who's Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yehuda, is saying this in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. So then Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah is of this opinion. So he believes in the gzer shavah of tachat tachat. So anything that's pasul in that pasuk from Kodeshim should have been disqualified by Meiser Behema. That would include Kilayim, Nidmeh, Treifa, we learned from Meiser Behema itself. The other items in the Mishnah, he subscribes to particular opinions. Yotzei Dofen, he subscribes to Rabbi Shimon, not like Rabbi Yochanan, which means that a C-section is considered to be a full-fledged Leida. With regards to Yatom, he's quoting Rabbi Yeshua, so he holds like Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah, as long as the hide is there, it's not called a Yatom. And with regards to Mechuser Zman, he holds like Rabbi Shimon Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that even though you can't bring the Meiser Behema as a Korban on the eighth, till the eighth day, for the first 7 days, it still goes into the corral, and that's not considered to be a Mechuser Zman. Eid Rabbi Shmuel ben Satriel, me'arakat leveina. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Satriel makes his cameo appearance in Shas, the only time he's ever mentioned, from the place called Arkat Leveina, which is also not mentioned anywhere else in Shas. Lifnei Rabbi, so he's in the generation of Rabbi because he's speaking to Rabbi. Bimkomenu, in our locale, mafshitin et ameta, umabishim et achai. We flay the mother that has died, take the skins, and wrap the young baby in the skins of the mother. Amarabi nitgala taimo shel mishnatenu. We finally know what the reason is in our Mishnah, which is the point of being tachat imo means that it's brought up or it's nursed by its mother. So you can simulate the effect of the mother's being there by putting the hide of the mother on the baby that's born. Therefore, it's not classified as a yatom because the mother is there. Even though she's not alive, she's still present because of the fact that the hide is there, and you wrap the animal in the hide. That's the reason behind Rabbi Yeshua's position, which is you can simulate the effect of having the mother, even though the mother is not there. Right, so now we have a number of memorot from Rabbi Yishmael ben Satriel. Interestingly enough, the Marsha, in heading off this piece here in his Chidushei Agadot, says the following. He says, Hagam t'yesh l'amin kolel dvarim v'pashtan. So you should believe everything simply, and you have to have emuna bitachon in the chachamim. And even when they tell these outlandish types of stories, you got to believe it. It's interesting that he prefaces his statement like that. Nevertheless, he says, mikom makom vaday delo nichta b'talmud rak lo rot al hamitkaven b'inyanenu. Says, nevertheless, these are all mashalim coming to direct you. So he says, even though you really should believe that these things are true and they are real, nevertheless, it's clear here that these are all mashalim and not something that is in reality. And the Maharal also says that these are all mashalim. These aren't necessarily real. So it says here, Chazirin shimimkomenu yesh lehem shimshim ribo klafim bebeit hamatsas or hemseish shelo. So now, if you read it simply, it would be that pigs in our location have 600,000 peels in their digestive system in the Beit HaMatzas, or the Hemseis. So almost all Rishonim do not say that that's what's been written here, partly because what are you dealing with pigs anyway? And you have an alternate gears, as you can see in Rashi. He says, V'odi yid b'dvar zeh chazirim shimukomenu ashon chazeret. Doesn't mean a pig, but rather chazeret, lettuce. And Rashi translates that, Yerek Sholoazim calling lituga, that they call lettuce. So Rashi says that it's reference to lettuce, that when you peel away the leaves of the lettuce, it has 600,000 of these leaves that peel away from the lettuce. On the right side there, you can see in the Nusot Acherot, Yitush Shibiyam Komenu, the flies in our location, Eshlo Samech Ribo Klapim Bebeit Hamasa Shalom or Hemse Shalom, that they have in their stomachs, they have 600,000 peels. The girsa that was imposed to most Rishonim was this girsa of the Nusach. You can see also in the Shita Mikubetzet, Ot Aleph, says, Nusach Acher, Kol Asfarim Ayishonim Shibiyadi, all of the Kitvei Yad that I have, say, Shishim Ribo Klipei Alin, Tayish Shimikomenu, Yesh Lehem, Samech Ribo Klipim, Bebeit Emse Shiloh. So then, it's clearly speaking about alin, leaves, and then whether the leaves are meaning leaves of the stomach or leaves of something that are inside of the animal. So you can see here that there are numerous girsaot over here, and most of the girsaot move away from chazir being a pig, and therefore that's probably not what's being said over here. Now, 600,000 in general is a number that is derech guzma, because why would you pick a number like 600,000? The Maharal speaks about 600,000 being a number of shleimut in the Gashmiut because it represents a large number of individuals that aggregate to a singular unit. That's Bnei Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim are 600,000. So they're both Yechidim and Bnei Yisrael. So he sees this as being shleimut. And the Maharal, Kedarka B'Kodesh, looks at numbers like 6 being shleimut because a square, a cube, has 6 sides to it, so that's Mareh on the Shleimut HaBriyah, the Gashmi. Mareh many times speaks about 6 in that manner. And therefore, 600,000 represents an idea of Shleimut HaGashmiut. So then he goes from there and explains the Gemara based on that. The Maharsha over here explains that this is a reference to Bnei Yisrael, which is Bnei Yisrael Yisrahem Riboy Deot. Everybody knows this, that Jews have many opinions, and so there are 600,000 different opinions amongst Kelal Yisrael. What he says over here, V'haynu Beit Amasas Shelo, Beit Emsa Shelo, Makom Hama'us, the place that's disgusting in the digestive system, Shemlaya Shikutzim B'Mitzrayim Shaya Sham Todotam. The birth of Bnei Yisrael, the 600,000 coming out of Mitzrayim, so they have all these klipot, klipot representing tum'ah, so all these deot of klipot coming out of Mitzrayim. And then, sofan, kishabau l'midbar, when they reach the midbar to the tzad Torah, which is the ultimate cleansing or tahara, they elevated themselves to the Torah and they shed the klipot. That's the way that Maharsha explains what we just read over here. Then, Pamachat, Nafal Erez Echad Shvimkomenu, one great cedar fell in our locale, V'avru Sheshesre Kronot Al Chodo, and 16 Kronot wagons were able to ride on Chodo on its point, which means that they didn't shave it down and make it flat, it means that the rounded part of the tree on the top had enough in its width to allow 16 Kronot to go across it. Obviously, again, Derech Kuzma, 16 is a number that's used, for instance, for Reshut HaRabim. 16 Amot of Reshut HaRabim, 16 Kronot, seems to indicate an area of Reshut HaRabim. Once again, here, the Maharsha says that the Erez represents Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's the great tree. And he says, Tepilpul, V'chidud Shekol HaTorah, Lo Nitna Rak LaMoshe. All of the discussions, depth, sharpness, insights of the Torah were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu from Hashem, and then Moshe Rabbeinu passes it on to the Bnei Israel out of his generosity or his kindness. He teaches us that, and everything we have today, all Torah Shebaal Peh, is built on Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is the 16 Kronot. He says our Sheshesre Dorot, our 16 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu. Each one of the generations, the Mesorah passes, and Kronot rides on the Mesorah of Moshe Rabbeinu, on the Chidudo B'Pilpulo, Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it means, that the Erez was cut down or fell down, which is that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and then the next 16 generations, the Tetzayin Kronot, follow in his ways, or build on that which he conveyed to us. And then the last one of the Agadotot, Pa'am Achat, Nafla Beitzat Bar Yochne, an egg of the Bar Yochne dropped. U Tab'a Shishim Krachim, it sunk or drowned 60 cities. V'Shavra Shloshmiot Arazim, and it felled 300 cedars. Umishadule, does a bird really drop its egg? Bakti Kanaf Rinanim Nelasa, the wings of the ostrich are joyously waving. The Gemara in Menachot darshins that Nelasa is an acronym for the fact that the bird is Nose Ola Vinitchate. It rises, it goes up, Vinitchate, and brings it back down, meaning that it controls its egg and it has no problem raising and putting down its egg gently. It doesn't drop its egg. So how come over here it's dropping an egg that's sinking all this cities and trees? And Ravashi Hel Muzrata Havai. That was a unfertilized egg. It was an egg that would never turn into a chick. And therefore it dropped it because it wasn't a viable entity. And that's why it dropped it. The translation over here is an ostrich. The question of whether it really is an ostrich who has the biggest egg, or it's a reference to some rare bird that we know have bigger eggs than this. But either way, no matter what you say it is definitely a Derech Kuzma. And on this again, the Maharsha says over here, that habeitza hidimyon haluchot, it represents the luchot, the aseret hadibrot, and that's because the Torah is nimshelet letzipor, to a bird, to a tzipor drawer. So the bird represents Torah, the egg is the luchot, and he quotes the Rav Sacha Gaon that within the aseret hadibrot is kalul kol haTorah kula. So that's the egg which is the concentrated substance that will produce another bird. So that's like the dibrot, which are the essence of the Torah. And it says that one time it fell, which is the breaking of the luchot by Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Chet Ha'egel, and the drowning or sinking of the 60 cities is Guzma Kamar. He says that's definitely an exaggeration. And he says, Mashal, Le'onesh Kamadorot. It is the indication that for many generations, Bnei Yisrael will pay the price of the Egel. This is what Chazal say, that Hashem brings it, Kol P'kida B'kida. Anytime he punishes Bnei Yisrael, there's a tinge of the Egel that is included in that punishment, that he won't punish them all at once. And that's represented by the 60 cities. And the 300 Arazim represent the Gedolim. And that many Gedolei Ador, many great people were felled by the Chet Ha'egel, even though it's many generations later. So that's also represented by the Arazim. And it's a representative of the Luchot HaRishonot, because Luchot HaRishonot never have a pre, never have any outcome because they're broken. That's why it doesn't say Tov by the Luchot HaRishonot, only by the Luchot HaShniot. And that's why it's called a Beitza Muzeret. It's a unfertilized egg or an egg that's not viable. That's a reference to the Aseret HaDibrot. So just to give some flavor to the Agadita that's brought over here, based on the Marsha. Next Mishnah. Shalosh granot lemaser ve'ema. There are three periods of time where we force you to do maser ve'ema. B'prasa Pesach, B'prasa Atzeret, U'prasa Chag is obviously related to the Shloshet Regalim. So pras, we're going to see in the Gemara references to 15 days. So it's 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shavuot, and 15 days before Sukkot, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva's position. Benazai Omer, Betzrim Betisha of Adar, the 29th of Adar, Bechad Betzivan, the 1st of Sivan, Betzrim Betisha of Av, and the 29th of Av, those are the three granot. Belazai Rabbi Shimon Omerim, Bechad Benisan, Rosh Kodesh Nisan, Bechad Betzivan, Rosh Kodesh Sivan, Bekavtet Be'elul. And then the 29th of Elul. Falam Amro Be'esrim Etisha Be'elul. If they were consistent, you would have Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and then Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Why didn't they do that? Why did they make it the 29th of Elul? Falam Amro Be'echad Be'tishrei. B'nei Shul Yom Tov. The only problem is that Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Tishrei, and then it would have been on Yom Tov. You have Shalah Aser Be'Yom Tov. And you can't do Maaser Be'ema on Yom Tov, which the Gemara will discuss why that is. But it's because when the 10th one goes out, you have to stain it, so that you know which one is the 10th one. That's why they pushed it up a day to be on the 29th of Elul. Rabbi Meir Omer, Bechad Be'elul, Rosh Hashanah, Maaser Be'ema. The first of Elul is Rosh Hashanah, meaning that's the end of the year. The granot are subdivisions of the year, but the year of Maaser Be'ema is on the first Rosh Chodesh Elul. Benazai Omer, Elulim itasrim bifnei atzman. Elulim, it's a safek. I don't know if Rosh Hashanah for Be'ema is the first of Elul, or if it is on Rosh Hashanah itself, and therefore Elul itself is a safek. So anything before Elul will be 1 year, everything after the first of Tishrei will be the next year, Elul itself will be segregated, and you'll do it independently, because I don't know which year it belongs to. Kol ha'noladim me'achad b'tishrei ad esrim tisha be'elul. So this is a dissenting opinion to Rabbi Meir's opinion. Anything that's born from Rosh Hashanah until the end of the year, Ha'ilu Mitztarfim, they all join together. Chamisha lifnei Rosh Hashanah, v'chamisha l'achar Rosh Hashanah, five before Rosh Hashanah, five after Rosh Hashanah, they Mitztarfim, they do not get together, they don't add up to 10 for Maaser Be'ema. And obviously this latter opinion here follows that of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say that Rosh Hashanah, or Echad L'Tishrei, is the cutoff, because that matches up with their opinion. And again, we'll see that in the Gemara. On the other hand, Chamisha lifnei Goren, Chamisha l'achar Goren, if you have five before one of these periods of time, subdivisions of the year, then five before, five afterwards, Ha'elu Mitztarfim, they can join together and you can't make them into Maaser Be'ema. Im Kein, Lamanem Rosh, Shlosh Granot, Maaser Be'ema. Then what's the significance of having the cutoffs or the subdivisions if it doesn't make a difference? So, She'ad Shlo Yigia Goren, until the point of the Goren, Mutar Limkor V'Lishchot. You can sell the animal, you can check the animal. There's nothing that compels you to deal with Maaser Be'ema. Higia Goren, once the Goren comes, lo yishchot v'im shachat patur. You're not allowed to check it, you're not allowed to sell it. You need to deal with Maaser Be'ema. Now, if you violate that and you do check it anyway, it's not a problem because this is only a din d'rabbanan. And so Rashi clarifies over here, he says something pretty dramatic, which is, Rashi says over here, Perek, when the Goren comes, lo yuchal mehem lechatchila. You shouldn't eat from these animals lechatchila. Midirabanan. It's a rabbinic injunction below maser, until you've taken off maser. Aval kodem lechein, mutar. Anytime before that, you can do what you please with the animals. The mitzvah ba'almahu laser behem otav. Rashi says, it's your choice whether you want to do the mitzvah of maser behemah. It's an optional mitzvah. Not a mitzvah that is a chuvah in any way. It's a very strange statement. Rashi now just says that maser behemah you could avoid because you can avoid ever having 10 animals in your flock. You can always either shech them or sell them before you get to the number of 10. And then you'll never have maser behemah. And Rashi basically says, that's fine. You have such an option. You do not need to do the mitzvah of maser behemah, because it's just if you have 10 together, and then you take them through the corral, you have maser behemah, but it's all optional. Given that, the din is that you can do as you please before the granot. The granot are rabbinic impositions that say, we have cutoffs. At those cutoffs, we're going to say, you got to take all the animals you have at that point and deal with maser behemah. But that means, obviously, if you don't do it, it's not going to stop you from combining animals before the goren with animals after the goren, because it's all a rabbinic injunction. Midoraita, it's the year that is the issue, not the smaller subdivisions of the year. So that's how Rashi explains it. The Rambam disagrees with Rashi and says there's an active mitzvah, mitzvah chovah, to do maaser behemah, which would make more sense that the Torah wants you to do maaser behemah. Just if you don't have 10, you can't do maaser behemah. But once you have 10, or you're going towards 10, there is an obligation to do maaser behemah, and therefore you shouldn't sell them off or shech them to prevent the mitzvah, because there is such a mitzvah that we would want you to do, rather than saying it's optional if you so choose to do it. But either way that you frame it, the only thing that you're compelled to do is make sure that the animals in a single year are together, not mixed from two different years. That's the din d'oraita. Midrabanan, they impose these subdivisions within the year, which the Gemara will ask, Mishna Tzlat, what is so important about these three times of the year, or why did you create three granot? So Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Likabel Chorfe, Va'afle, V'kaite. Rashi brings two girsaot with regards to what the reference is to. Chorfe, from the word choref, means the early ones, so the early animals that are born. The afle are the afelot, ki afeloteina, which are the late ones. And then kaite, Rashi has two different possibilities. Either kaite means the very late ones, or kaite are the ones between the chorfe and the afle, the middle ones. So either way, what you have here is animals give birth over different periods of time. And so we're trying to capture those different birthing periods, so that the early ones we capture with Pesach, the middle ones we capture with Atzeret, and the late ones we capture, we have like a catch-all between Atzeret and Sukkot, which catches anybody else that's late in terms of birth. So Maishna Bahane Zimne. So then why those times in particular? We understand generally why you divide it into three, but why did you pick right before the regel, or the 15 days before the regel? So Amar Rav Tamchum, Breder B'chia, Ish Kfar Akko, Kedei Shedei Beima Mitzuya Lole Regalim. Because that would then facilitate having Beimot available for the Olei Regalim. That is both from the perspective of the people coming up to Yerushalayim will have what to bring with them, because they have Maaser Behemah to bring with them, so they can bring their Maaser Behemah and bring their Korbanot and have something to put on the Mizbeach when they come. Plus, they're going anyway, so it's a good time to take it up. In addition, the other nine animals now are available to be used for Korbanot, because now you've cleared Maaser Behemah. The other nine are Chulin, so you have meat, you have what to bring up to Yerushalayim. So from both perspectives, there is a value, both for yourself, maybe for others as well, because you could sell those animals now to others to use as korbanot, or even if you yourself want to bring other korbanot, this is a facilitating event. Vavagav didznan, and even though in our Mishnah it says, actually, gia goren mutar lim korbelish kolt, even though before the goren you can do what you please, you can sell them, you can shech them, nechale dilitave mitzvah b'mamone, a person wants to do mitzvot with their money. In their possessions, they want to do a mitzvah. Now, when we invoke this principle, it's generally when there's no huge outlay or loss to the individual. Over here, the Maaser Behemah is not a loss to the individual, because Maaser Behemah belongs to the Baalim. Whether it's a mominit and it belongs to the Baalim to eat locally, or whether it doesn't have a mominit and it can be taken up to Yerushalayim, the Korban is the Baalim's Korban, the Maaser Behemah. So therefore, a person has the option to do a mitzvah b'mamone without much loss associated with it. They will generally opt to do such. So therefore, even though, again, according to Rashi, l'chatchila, you can shecht and sell them before the goren, and there's nothing that would stop you. There's not even a mitzvah in the Torah to stop you. It's just totally optional. Nevertheless, people opt into the mitzvah because it's easy to do. Because you can do it easily, not much loss in money, and you can do the mitzvah. According to those that believe it's a chuvah, then before that point in time, you can opt out of the mitzvah. But nevertheless, people opt into the mitzvah because it's not so hard to do and it's not a big loss for them. Vadar lizbon velecho. So then once they've done the mitzvah, they can sell whatever animals they want. They can eat whatever animals they want. There's no real loss in making the Meiser Behema. V'amai karile goren. Why do they use the word goren? Goren is a borrowed term. It's used by grains. The goren is the threshing floor or the threshing area. Why would you use it for the description of Meiser Behema? The tavla kegoren. Because it simulates the effect of the goren. Just like the goren is the gemar melocha for the grains, and at that point you become chayav in Trumot HaMasrot, so too over here, once you cross over the goren, it's a trigger to make it like tevel. The animals no longer can be eaten or sold without dealing with Maiser Behema. Again, rabbinically, they want you to deal with it, and therefore you're not allowed to rabbinically sell or shecht the animal until you've dealt with Maiser Behema. So it simulates the effect of the goren or tevel, and so it's a borrowed term. It's borrowed from the world of tevel to bring it over here to indicate that there is a din of quote-unquote tevel by Maiser Behema. Bekama pras. How much is a pras over here? Peirush Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, ein pras pachot mitet vavyom. A pras is no less than 15 days. Pras, or the word prus, in the Gemara means a broken piece. So pras over here means half. That's usually the way it's used, which is it's broken in half. So my mashmo, how do you get to 15 days? Amar Rabbi Bo, pros, palga, is a half. Palga demai, a half of what gets you to 15 days? Obviously it's 30, but why is 30 days significant? Palga de Hilchot HaPesach, because it's halfway through the Hilchot HaPesach, kiha, titanya, sholim, vidorshim, Hilchot HaPesach, kol HaPesach, laminyom. You engage in discussing the halachot of Pesach 30 days before Pesach, and therefore pras haPesach would be half of that amount beforehand, which would be 15 days before Pesach. Shimon Gamliel omer shtei shabbatot. Shimon Gamliel believes you only need 2 weeks before Pesach to deal with the laws of the holiday. They both learned it out from the halachot of Pesach, which is Moshe Rabbeinu discusses Pesach Sheni on Pesach Rishon. So that's the 30 days. And for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Moshe on Rosh Chodesh Nisan discusses Pesach Mitzrayim, which is 2 weeks ahead of time. And so those are the sources for their positions. And there, the Mishnah, when it uses pras, pras of Pesach, pras Atzeret, means half of the 30-day window before a holiday when you start discussing the laws of the holiday. And that's when the Goren takes place. So the pras is a reference to that window of 30 days. The Balia Tosafot over here, there's a large Tosafot, tried to deal with when is the 30 days and what is included in it. And he is somewhat perplexed by the fact that we include the day of the 14th, which is Erev Pesach, in the 30 days. He says that if you take the sources of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim, they're standing on Pesach Rishon, and they're doing the local to Pesach Sheni. That's 30 days ex Pesach Sheni. They're on Pesach Rishon. If you count from Pesach Rishon 30 days, that's the day before Pesach Sheni. And similarly with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, if you count there 2 weeks until Pesach, that is, again, 2 weeks, not including the Pesach itself. So Tosfot says it seems to indicate that when you count the days do not include the day itself that you're going to do whatever it is on. So Tosfot then is worried by how do you get 30 days before Pesach? 30 days before Pesach on Purim makes sense when you're speaking about Pesach or the halachot of Pesach. But Korban of Pesach is on the 14th. And that means the 30th day is the 14th of Nisan. And then how could you have 30 days before? It really should start a day earlier. So that's what Tosfot is bothered by. And he brings a number of examples where there seems to be a problem that they're including the day itself. Now this all presumes, and Tosfot proved this, that these 30 days beforehand are about the Korbanot of the holidays. Not about the laws of the holidays, but the Korbanot of the holidays. He proves that from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, at the beginning of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know that 3 days before the holidays you're not to interact or to do business transactions with the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara brings different sources for time periods. So one of the sources, it says, well, if you learn it out from Jewish Korbanot, there you need 30 days. How do I know you need 30 days? Sholim Midoshim Ilchot HaPesach. So you see that the Gemara views Ilchot HaPesach as being Korban HaPesach. And so there he says, I don't understand. If it's 30 days before, you should start on the day before Purim, not on Purim itself. So in the end, Tosafot says that the Chazal were more worried about getting a good day to start rather than the actual number of days. For instance, by Shkalim. The Shkalim, we start announcing on the Shkalim 30 days before they're due. Well, they're due on the last day of Adar. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is already the new budget year in the Mikdash. So you need the Shkalim to be in before that. If you're going to do that 30 days before, you should really start on Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar, not Rosh Chodesh Adar. But it's much easier to have the day be Rosh Chodesh Adar than Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar. Same thing with the Hilchot HaPesach. It's much easier to be the day be Purim and not the day before Purim. So they used the day that was significant as the starting point, even though those 30 days end, at least in part, on the Korban HaPesach for the 14th, or by the Shkalim on the 29th. So he says that Chazal tried to get 30 days or a full 30 days in before, but if there was a significant day in the beginning that made it 29 days instead, they used that. They opted for that rather than going to the first 30 days. But nevertheless, from our Gemara here, the Pras of Pesach, Pras of Tzeret, Pras of Chag, is a reference to that 30-day window beforehand in which we discuss the halachot of the holiday. And half of that is the Goren for Maaser Behemah, which also would make some sense because you're trying to have the animals available for the Chag, so you don't want it too far in advance whereby they're just going to be sitting around. You don't want it too close where there's not enough time to use them or sell them. So this is like a middle period. It's 15 days before. And in tomorrow's daf, we'll go through the remaining opinions of the Tanaim in our Mishnah as to why they have slightly varied dates from the 15 days that are mentioned by Rabbi Akiva as the first opinion in our Mishnah. Okay, we'll stop here by the two dots on the top of Nunchet Amud Aleph.